God's word for our meditation this morning is recorded in Mark chapter 1. We'll read this section now. As soon as they left the synagogue, they went with James and John to the home of Simon and Andrew. Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they immediately told Jesus about her. So he went to her, took her hand, and helped her up. The fever left her, and she began to wait on them. That evening, after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons, but he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him, and when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone's looking for you!" Jesus replied, "Let us go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so I can preach there also. That is why I have come." So he traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. This is God's word. A Sunday school class was asked a set of questions, and here are those questions and their answers. Why did God make mothers? A few answers. To help us out of there when we were getting born. Or, she's the only one who knows where the scotch tape is. Or, mostly to clean the house. What ingredients are mothers made of? God made mothers out of clouds and angel hair and everything nice in the world and one dab of mean. What kind of little girl was your mom? I don't know because I wasn't there, but my guess would be pretty bossy. What did mom need to know about dad before she married him? His last name. Or does he make at least $800 per year? Did he say no to drugs and yes to chores? What does your mom do in her spare time? Mothers don't do spare time. And what's the difference between moms and dads? Moms have magic. They make you feel better without medicine. Moms work at work and work at home, and dads just go to work at work. So to summarize, in the minds of kids and in reality, moms serve their families no matter what. In fact, that's the great thing about moms, one of many great things about moms. If you ask them, especially when no kid is screaming or covered with a whole jar of peanut butter, they'll tell you that they love serving their families. It's hardwired into their nature. And in many homes, what's the worst thing that could happen? That mom goes out of commission, she gets sick, and the entire house descends into chaos, right? I have a feeling that maybe Peter could feel the chaos creeping in. See, his mother-in-law was sick, really sick. She was consumed by a fever so bad that she couldn't attend synagogue on Saturday. She was laid up in bed. Now, at synagogue that day, Jesus had driven out a demon from a man in the full presence of everybody in the congregation there. And after that, he and Simon and Peter and James and John had walked to Simon's house for the traditional after church, after synagogue Saturday meal, Sabbath meal. And when they got to the house, Mark just tells it so simply. Peter and Andrew told Jesus what was going on with Peter's mother-in-law. And Jesus simply went to her. Took her hand, helped her up, and the fever left her. Just like that. The man who had cast out a demon at church that day now went to Peter's mother-in-law and drove out the fever. Now, you can bet that Peter would remember that. But here's what I want you to pay special attention to. What did Peter's mother-in-law do after she was healed? She didn't shave her hair and put on a habit and go enter into a nunnery. She didn't declare herself the queen of Capernaum and start to soak in the attention that that brought. She didn't go on the talk show circuit and sign a book deal. No, what did she do? Her first thought was, where did I put the eggs? She began to serve, right? She took this gift of health and strength that Jesus had given her. And she thought first of how she could use it in thanks to Jesus. She served. It's why Jesus gives gifts to us, right? Gifts of health, but also gifts of time and of wealth and of education and so on, right? It's why he heals us so that we can serve. That's his plan for us. And maybe you're thinking to yourself, well, I haven't been healed by Jesus. And maybe you haven't had cancer infesting your body one week and then you went back the next for a scan and it was gone, although Jesus does that from time to time. And yet, here you are today. And not in bed laid up like Peter's mother-in-law was. Who do you think did that? Many of you have never had a debilitating illness. Many of you sleep well at night. Many of you have had broken bones and then they healed. Many of you have had colds or the flu, and yet you didn't die, all because of that incredible immune system that your body has. Without them, a virus could wipe us out. Who do you think gave you an immune system? Who do you think healed your body in all those ways? See, Jesus heals us every day. And that's something to thank him for. How? Serve! To do anything else is to waste the gift of time and of life and of healing that Jesus gives to us. Think through how you would answer the question if you were laid up in a hospital bed and someone asked you, why do you want to get better? A million things might flood our minds, right? I want to be healed so I can live without pain again. I want to be healed so I can go hiking because I enjoy that, so I can do the things that fill my life with joy. No, first, what's our answer? I want to be healed. I want this gift of health and of energy and of life and of time so I can serve. This is Jesus' plan for us. But there's more to why Jesus heals you. He doesn't just give you these gifts so he can get something back from you. No, he heals you. He gives you these gifts of health and of life and of time because he really does care about your physical well-being. See, sometimes God allows pain to enter into our lives because he wants us to understand our need for him. What pain does is it turns our faces around if we've forgotten him. Pain tells us that we're not home yet. We're not in the place where we should be comfortable. Pain keeps us from being satisfied with this world. Pain is a way of keeping us longing for the only thing that will satisfy us, the only person. Pain leads us to cry out to the one who has lived life through human tears, who even asked why of the Father as he died on a cross. The one who showed the world beyond a shadow of a doubt that he cares for you. It leads us to seek out Jesus. And that's exactly how our text continues, right? That evening after sunset, Mark wrote, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door. Can you imagine Peter going to Jesus and saying, Jesus, you have a visitor or some visitors. Well, who is it? Everybody, right? See, the legal distance for walking on the Sabbath, according to the traditions of the elders, was to the synagogue and back home again. See, many had been at synagogue that day. They'd seen Jesus cast out a demon from the man who had been there. And many of them on their walk home were wondering, could he? Would he? Fix my mom? Fix my dad? Heal my loved one? Maybe those people were homesick too, not at the synagogue, just like Peter's mother-in-law. And their relatives came home, and they all wondered, could he, would he help? Let's go. No, we can't yet. It's still the Sabbath. We have to wait until the sun sets and the new day begins. And so just picture the scene, right? Everybody in town peeking out the window, standing at the door, waiting for the sun to dip below the horizon just so they can go to Jesus for help. See, pain does that. Everyone had a reason to seek him out. Apparently, every person in town was either bringing someone or being brought to Jesus. Imagine those narrow streets flooding with people, streaming towards the places they saw Jesus go after synagogue that day, all with one thought, this man can help. And again, Mark records it so beautifully, doesn't he? That's what Jesus did. He didn't get his Saturday afternoon nap after preaching. He had a long day, but he healed them because he cared for them. Friends, Jesus cares about your physical needs too. He has power over all the things that ail you. He has the power to make it right. And he's proved how much he loves you by going to the cross. So go to him for that healing. Take every ache and pain, every injury and sickness to him and place it. Place yourself in his loving and powerful hands. And even if you do have to suffer with a lingering illness, know his power and his love for you. Know that he hasn't forgotten you. That it's not lingering because he can't help you. No, it's because he wants something better for you than strength and health just in this life. No, he wants life and wholeness for you in eternity. He wanted it so badly that he took all of your infirmities, all of your sicknesses on himself and died, then rose again to assure you of a future where healing is no longer needed. That is Jesus' plan for you. So whether you live with freedom from illness or whether you face a long fight against health issues ahead, either way, Jesus will use either restoration or sickness for the same purpose, to remind you that the goal of his plan is the final healing of heaven. Text goes on. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Don't miss this. See, Jesus was up who knows how long, in all hours of the night, healing people. And if there were ever a time to sleep in, you'd think that this was it. But instead, Jesus wakes up early. While it's still dark out, to get away from the hustle and the bustle of disciples and people wanting help so that he could talk with his Father. You ever wonder what he would have prayed about? It doesn't tell us in the text, but we can make an educated guess. What was Jesus' all-consuming passion? What was the thing that he was focused on above and through everything else? You. And the plan that would make you his forever. That's a comforting thought, isn't it? When Jesus prayed for the people he loved and the work that would save them, he prayed not just with a mass of humanity in his mind, but for you. See what Jesus is doing? Not only is he spending time with his Father perfectly in our place as our substitute, as our perfect replacement, you know, making up for all the things that we fail to do to glorify God. No, but he's also laying down an example for us. He wants to spend time with you as well. Jesus, the Holy God, not only had time to pray, he made time to pray. It said, right, if you're too busy to pray, then you're too busy. There's a church father who once wrote, if there was ever a reason to be sober in the evening, it's so that you can get up early in the morning to pray and read God's word. Have you ever noticed that, it happens to me too, that when you say, I'll take time later for prayer and time in God's word, then throughout the rest of the day, it seems like there are five tasks that chase you and won't let you have a moment of peace or a moment of time to sit down and actually spend that time. You ever noticed that before? Now imagine what could happen if instead of putting off time with Jesus for your tasks, you put off those tasks a little while for time with Jesus. Imagine if it wasn't that to-do list that was chasing you through the day, but it was Jesus going with you every step of your way. Imagine what your day would be like if it started with healing for your heart. What if every one of your tasks was taken up with a freshly healed soul through the gospel? And with your Savior at your side. When the disciples came to chase after Jesus, they said, everyone's looking for you, right? Remember what Jesus' response was? Let's go somewhere else. Let's go to the nearby villages so I can preach there also. Because, and here's the thing, that is why I've come. What's the reason Jesus came? Preach. To bring the good news of the kingdom of God to people who need it. But let him preach to you. Let him preach to you through his word. Let him open your eyes to see how he didn't choose the path of superstar faith healer put on a pedestal, but instead chose the path that led to the cross. See how he chose the path that would not only heal people physically, but would heal you spiritually and forever. This is Jesus' plan for you. So how could we not serve a Savior like that? As we use this time that God has given us, the time of our lives, let's use it faithfully and intentionally by laying out a plan. Let's focus on the things that Jesus would have us focus on. Let us seek first his kingdom and trust God to provide all these things as well. As you make your plans, plan to be served by Jesus in word and sacrament. There, as he comes to you in the place where he promises to be found, he will heal all of sin's ills. There, with the life that he gives you. Then make your plans to serve him with everything. That's why Jesus heals you. So that you would be with him always in this life and forever after. Amen.